Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Sorry, I jumped the gun a little bit there today. You got an extra wisdom, which doesn't hurt, I suppose. Today we commemorate the Feast of All Saints, something appropriate after we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. We reflect upon what this means for us and for the church, that God would give us the gift of His own Spirit. In the 19th and 20th century, there were two key figures who denied the existence of God. Very rabid atheist and had an enormous impact upon the culture, upon the world. First was Sigmund Freud, who believed that faith and religion was nothing more than a psychological construct. And otherwise, it was a defense mechanism within our minds, a projection of our fears. We project an all-powerful Father, an all-powerful God, to protect us from the awful things of this world. It's a defense that helps us to persevere, to go on in this world when things are ugly or painful. And similarly, Karl Marx, earlier than Freud, thought that it was simply the opiate of the people. It was a way of anesthetizing ourselves. In a similar way, when we face all the difficulties of day-to-day life, our belief in God is something that stills and calms our hearts, again, allowing us to go on despite our underlying fears and anxieties. Response of the person in faith to both men is a profound no that arises out of our experience. But even though we give this no, we also have to acknowledge that both men saw something. They saw a certain part of the truth in Christian men and women who embrace it simply in name, who perhaps go to divine liturgy weekly, perhaps avail themselves of the sacrament, but are not imbued with that spirit that God gave to the apostles, who in every word and deed and thought and action bear witness to the love and the power of the kingdom. In this sense, they got it right. They understood that it is something that could be all too much within our own minds, within our imagination. We are called to something more as Christian men and women. Jesus cuts right through the argument of Freud and Marx with the gospel teaching today, in particular with the standard of the Christian. The cross. Whoever does not take up his cross daily and follow me is not worthy of me. We speak of taking up our cross, but the language of the cross can be bewildering to us. We talk about dealing with the realities of day-to-day life, of offering them up, the inconveniences that we experience offering them to God. And we know that this is part of the Christian way. This is the path of the saints. But often both the language and the clarity of faith fail us when confronted with the reality of the cross that we actually receive, when all the meaning and understanding elude us, and we are confined to bed because of sickness, checkmated by failure, isolated by the misfortunes of our day-to-day life, when we are annihilated, quite frankly, by the feeling of our own powerlessness to change the course of our life, when we have to admit a presence, when we have to acknowledge God, acknowledge Christ, when what He says to us and what He offers us is not elevating, but is humiliating in the deepest possible way for us as human beings. The cross always finds entry where we are most defenseless in our particular lives, the ways that we find ourselves to be most weak. We come to see how feebly we often carry what is given to us. It can never be the right cross for us. We always want something different, something that would allow us to maintain the illusion of strength or maintain the illusion of self-sufficiency in some form or fashion. It must make sense to us. We have to see in some way a higher reason for why we are going through what we're going through. It is only the Lord and the cross that He chooses when all that we can do is lean into the pain. When all that we can do is lean forward into the pain, and all that we experience is a dark and what seems to us to be a foreign will. I offer you these thoughts today as we commemorate the lives of the saints, because they place before our hearts aspects of the life of the Christ and the Holy Ones that we often are afraid to look at candidly in our day-to-day lives. Though honest, and one might say brutally so, Christ's words seem to buoy us up and our hearts up with their deep insight into the presence and the providence of God in places we don't expect. Encountering all the trials, all the turmoils that we face, that often leaves our hopes and our dreams in tatters, and experience the inevitable decline of old age, our feebleness, when neither sanctity we learn, nor the presence and the power of God or the love of God depends upon anything in this world. This is the great lesson of the saints. Holiness, sanctity, value in the eyes of God depends upon absolutely nothing in this world. In fact, we find that when we are empty, He who is fullness comes to us. When we are broken, the healer. And when we experience bitterness because of the sufferings of day-to-day life, He who is the sweetness of love, He comes to us. St. Paul beautifully put it in his letter to the Galatians. It is no longer I who live I, but it is now Christ who lives within me. Paul does something interesting there. It is no longer I who live I. He uses the word ego. It is no longer I who live I, but Christ who lives within me. This is what it is to be a saint, to be Christ, to have His love, the love of His Spirit, so permeate our minds, our hearts, and our beings that we have an absolute confidence in the invincible will and love of God. May God give us the grace today to believe it and to embrace it. Glory to Jesus Christ.